Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
And you guys have heard plenty of talk throughout the day if you've been tuned into the station. We've had a full-on review of the game. The morning show over there doing a full review of basically everything that went down. The lane violation that was not called but maybe should have been. And everything else relating to the game. And you get that across a lot of the day today, as you should. The focus for me now is, all right, we're a day past. We reacted to the game last night. We're a game 24 hours past the tip here, and I just need to know where you go. What adjustments do you make? And obviously that rides very heavily on, is Darius Garland going to be healthy? Is Evan Mobley going to be healthy? Is DeAndre Hunter going to be healthy? But there's still things that you can go and sort of ask the question of what you need to see. I think very clearly, if we're going to go from where we were last night and now here being down 2-0 heading into Indiana, as you go to play the Pacers on their home floor, I don't know that it's far-fetched at this point to go out and say you have to probably take both from Indiana and tie the series at 2-2. I don't know that I'm all that confident in this team going down 3-1 and then having to sort of pile their way back and go through and have to play, you know, home game, road game, home game, and try to figure it out. That, again, just feels like a very dangerous situation to have to be consistently on the move, worn down in this series the way that you are. I'm imagining that I want to see this thing go 2-2, and that may be the only thing that would truly restore my faith. And when I say restore my faith, it's not that I think the Cavs are done and dusted and there's no way they win this series. Not at all. When I say restore my faith, I mean that you have basically, again, back to like a 50-50 shot. You're the team that should be favored here. Indiana came out and stunned you twice on your home floor. In games that were, I think, ultimately winnable for the Cavs. Right, I mean, game one is definitely, like, you just lost. Indiana played better than you did in game one. And in game two, you're down three of your top six players. And maybe had a 20-point lead, and then it falls away, and you can't hold it up in the final minute of the game. But you were stunned. You got stunned on your home floor twice. And I feel like the way that the NBA playoffs go, okay, if I'm going to get sparked at home, not once, but two times in the opening of a series, you kind of have to open up and go do it back. It's really the only thing there. In combination with getting Evan Mobley or Darius Garland back, and hopefully probably, I don't know, maybe two of those three guys back between when you add Hunter into the mix, I'm almost to the point where I need to see both of those things happen in order to feel like the Cavs have a good shot at still competing in this series and going out and advancing to the Eastern Conference Finals. It's just, I think, reality. Like, we look at it, I'm not pronouncing the Cavs dead, but to go out there, and I think the way that we are right now with the injuries that have piled up, if you're still a person right now that's saying, I have full faith in the Cavs, I still believe they're winning this series. I mean, I watched the last two games. I had my eyes on them. In game two specifically, we watched that. We watched it go down. Like, yes, the Cavs played a very good game of basketball for about three quarters. I think three quarters, you played pretty solid basketball. You carried a 14-point lead heading into the fourth quarter. But ultimately, we clearly saw that what happens when you have to play that brand of basketball, in order to get that 14-point lead, you have to push yourself to the wire. You have to play with the high intensity we were talking about last night. And in order to do that and play the way that you played, you're going to wear your guys out. You're going to gas your players into not being able to fully function in the final few minutes of the game, the final quarter of the game. Like, everybody wanted to chalk that up, and I heard it throughout the station of the day, and obviously was the focus of our reaction last night because it is still very damning, but everybody talks about how the last minute of the quarter was really what went bad. No, the first 6 minutes of the quarter were also really bad. Like, the Cavs scored, I think, 4 points in the first 6 minutes of the fourth quarter yesterday. They were bad for an entire quarter of basketball. Like, obviously, after that, they had found something that worked at least a little bit. I think 4 points is obviously ridiculous, and even a tired team's going to score more than that. They had a combination of not being able to hit their shots while being tired. And I just don't think it's a sustainable way to play in the way that you have. So if you're going to go out and you're going to compete and you're not going to have Evan and you're not going to have Darius Garland, the adjustments then that need to be made are kind of like throw your palms up in the air. What else do you do? I mean, we caught ridiculed last night for basically me saying, hey, I think I probably would have played Craig Porter Jr. more, Javonte Green more. I might have even mixed Tristan Thompson in there for a few minutes just to get guys off their feet and give them more of a break. But other than that, I don't know if there was anything else you could have turned and done. You lighten up on the defensive side of the ball, you're just hoping that Indiana misses, or Indiana, you know, basically doesn't function at the rate on offense in which they execute in game two and in game one, which Indiana's a very strong offensive team with a whole boatload of momentum right now. And I think that we can clearly look at it and say, yeah, they're going to outscore you at that point. They're going to be a better offensive team as soon as you lighten up offensively. Or, excuse me, on the defensive side of the ball. Their offense is going to click. It just is. There's not much you can do without getting more guys healthy in this lineup. So when I ask you, 216-474-0092, what do you need to see from the Cavs in Indiana to restore your faith in this series? It is, for me, twofold. The Cavs do have to go out, and they need to find, at very bare minimum, one of the three guys that they had out last night be healthy, and I think you have to end up taking both games in Indiana. Like, yeah, it's an unfortunate situation that you didn't have the players available to you heading into this game. But there's nothing else to it now. Like, now you just go out and execute. Now you have to go out and make the adjustments throughout the series. This is not time where Kenny Atkinson pregame is going on an entire monologue on the officiating and the hard foul calls and everything else. Like, that now needs to be on the back burner. The guys who are down are down. And if you're going to be able to function in this series, you need to go out and you need to put that stuff behind you and not worry about it. You need to be a physical team that plays hard and wills their way to victory. You can't play 47 minutes of basketball. You have to be able to close out the last minute. There's no secret recipe to getting this thing done. You're going to have to go game by game, and reality is you have to win 4 out of 5. And at the bare minimum, that means winning 2 games in Indiana. And really, we talk about the momentum being gone. Guys, it's not just going back to play Indiana at home. You're going back to play Indiana at home with them riding on cloud 9. Being able to actually go through and play the fourth quarter that they did, pull off the upset that they did, compared to where you were at the start of the fourth quarter to where you ended that game. They have all the momentum in the world. They have all the confidence in the world, despite how well you played for three quarters. And they can look at it and go, yeah, they didn't have their three best players, but by the end of the game, we were making shots and they were not. And it's a deflating thing for the Cavs. It's, yes, obviously a big boost to the Pacers and Tyrese Halliburton and everybody there and being able to have a smile on your face as you go back to play on your home floor. But the bigger thing for me is it's such a, it just sucks the air out of the room for the Cavs. You have nothing to be happy about after going that game. Sure, maybe by the time you get to Friday, you're going to be like, hey, I mean, we played a really close game with the team missing three of our top six players. At the end of the day, that doesn't provide you all that much of momentum. Had you won game one, that might still be momentum on your side. But being down 2-0, you're going to quickly find out, I think, whether or not the Cavs and their role players, based on how they play, sort of have that championship DNA in them. Do you have the ability not to roll over in a series and actually come out and fight when it feels like vibes couldn't be any lower based on the first two games? Again, 216-474-0092. What do you need to see from the Cavs in Indiana in order to restore your faith here in an Eastern Conference semifinals? A lot of good stuff coming up for you guys tonight. David Shepard, Infinity Sports Network and SiriusXM NBA Radio, going to be joining us at 10 o'clock tonight to talk Cavs. And as we always do, we'll get to the station buzz coming up at 7:40. Get a grip at 9. We'll bring in Andrew Hody later on in the show for a little bit of change your mind as well, probably near the end of the 9 o'clock hour. Right now, 216-474-0092. What do you need to see from the Cavs in Indiana to restore your faith? You can also get me on X at Volnick Jake, V-U-L-I-N-E-C Jake, so we can do our social media reactions powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. With your calls and more coming up on the Cavs here in 5 minutes. It's overtime with Jake Volnick with the guys right here on The Fan. Hey, it all starts with getting, at the very minimum, one of those guys healthy, and probably not just DeAndre Hunter. If DeAndre Hunter is the one, then it has to be a bonus. But either Darius or Evan back. And then on top of that, I think you probably have to steal both of them in Indiana. This is just, it's very simply not the 2016 Cavs. You're not making a 3-1 series comeback. It just, I don't see it necessarily with this team. Would I rule it out as impossible? No, but my faith going into that portion of it would probably be not so high. It'd probably be pretty low, and I don't think I'd have much confidence in their ability to do it. I just think you actually have to go out and steal the momentum back. Right? You've lost so much momentum in this series that it has kind of gone south, and you're obviously, not just because you're down 2-0, but just from the vibes that you've had in the first two games, are playing off the back foot. I just, again, part of it, like, it is to a point where you look at it, and we've seen this Cavs team play all year, and it's like, okay, it's two playoff losses. We're two playoff losses in, and we're pretty much losing our minds, right? Like, if we've gone fully to the wire after two, the problem is, if it was like 2-2, or even you're down 1-2, and this is after game three, then yeah, we can make the talk about, okay, it's been two playoff losses. It's more than just two right off the gate for me. It's the fact that you took two back-to-back against an Indiana team that was already feeling like they had a chip on their shoulder, that was already uber confident going into this series, and you've just pushed that further. You've just ignited that even more. And I think that makes it very difficult right now to look around and say, oh, yeah, we have the utmost faith in the Cavs, in me to look at you and say, oh, they're winning this series. Like, no, they're definitely not favored to win the series at this point. Down 2-0, down three of your top six players. I would think it's pretty fair to say that you're the underdog now at this point, and you have to show me something before I...
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Back to full faith. Again, series isn't over. It's not the nail in the coffin, but you're not all that far from getting there. That's the reality of a best of seven. Again, 216-474-0092 if you guys want to jump in. Let's go out to our one of our good friends who I can only imagine what's getting ready to be said. But let's try it anyway. Mr. Buckley's in New York City. What's going on, Mr. Buckley?
Jake. Are you holding out for a miracle here, or are you ready to admit reality here that this is a sweep, like I told you?
No, I'm holding out. I'm hoping that I get Darius Garland back next game, and that it propels a little bit of energy into this team.
Okay. Who was that overrated chant for? Was that for Donovan?
Okay. Well, Donovan dropped 48 in that game and shot 15 of 30 from the field.
How do you shoot from three?
He didn't shoot very well from three. Still dropped 48.
The last two games, yeah, 21 trips to the free throw line. What's his 3-point percentage in this playoffs?
It's not good. He hasn't found his stroke from beyond the arc, and Indiana very clearly has taken that away from his game the best way that they can.
Is he like 2-for-40? Because he's hurt. That's why. And you know the core four, which is a Yankees term, by the way. You shouldn't be using that. The real name for these guys is the velour four, because they're soft. Soft, 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 velour four. You can use it. I've already copyrighted it. I'm
going to
make plushie dolls. I'm going to make plushie dolls of Jared Allen and Evan Mobley and Darius Garland. Listen, Donovan's going to request a trade this summer. You think he's going to run it back with these bums again after they get swept? He's definitely going to request a trade.
I would be willing to put money on the opposite of that, he does not.
Why would he stay? Why would he stay after you get swept?
I mean, realistically,
Ty Jerome, bum.
Ty Jerome's been terrible in this series. He's like 2-for-30.
I remember all season you've been telling me, Tibbs is running his guys into the ground. You ain't even going to make it to the playoff. You're going to get knocked down in the first round because you guys every Nick is healthy, fresh as a daisy. How are the Cavs doing? Playing that limited minute stuff all year, trying to get this great regular season record. How are the Cavs doing? The Knicks are healthy, beating the Celtics. What are the Cavs doing? Listen, I knew it was going to play out like this. I endured all the Cavs, the cockiness for 6 months. I endured it because I knew this is how it's going to play out. Donovan can't get past the second round.
Are we not looking at a series right now, though, where the Cavs are missing three of their top six players on the floor?
But when the Knicks are missing Brunson and Cat, it's like you don't want to hear it. You don't want to hear when the Cavs beat the Knicks without Brunson and Cat. You don't want to hear that. But now they're missing three. First of all, missing DeAndre Hunter, not a big issue. Okay, Darius Garland, also a playoff bum.
Top four and sixth man of the year, but yeah.
Who's the sixth man of the year?
It said top four, sixth man of the year, DeAndre Hunter.
He's not the sixth man of the year.
I didn't say he's sixth man. I said he's top four.
Okay, but he's not a difference maker in this series or at all. So Darius is a playoff bum. What's Darius' play? He scores 16 points a game in the playoffs. How many turnovers? Six turnovers a game in the playoffs. You're counting on him? First of all, they beat you in the first game with Hunter and Mobley. Mobley's probably not playing again in the series. His ankle's cooked.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that far off. I mean,
he's got a high ankle sprain, but yeah. that's 3 to 4 weeks. And DeAndre Hunter's is 6 to 8 weeks. I mean, they could tape him up. He can go out there What's he going to do, though? He's going to fumble rebounds. He's not going to be able to shoot. I mean, you're better off not having him out there. Just accept the sweep, the Velour 4, and Donovan's out. He's definitely out.
I really don't think it's as simple as, Donovan's just not out. That's just not reality.
Why wouldn't he be out? Why wouldn't he be out if they get swept? Because you're missing three
of your top six players in this series.
Not good players. But Evan Mobley's a good player. Evan Mobley is a good player. The other two are...
Darius is an all-star this season.
Jeff Teague was an all-star. An all-star, please. Is Jeff Teague... I mean, all-star means nothing to me. Okay, all-star is nothing. All-NBA, we could talk. Meanwhile, the Knicks have two all-NBA players this year. Definitely.
The two stars on their team, and then you have three to four good players, and then...
Yeah, we got a good team. We got a really good team, the Knicks.
I didn't say you had a bad team.
Oh, you've said it all year. The Knicks are not a very good team. Jalen Brunson's good on a bad team. Look, I don't have to say anything. The Cavs are getting swept, and the Knicks, I don't know. If we take it to a game seven, we'll see, you know. I have a feeling we might be beating the Celtics here. If we beat the Celtics, that's great. If not, we'd probably get Giannis in the offseason.
Well, Mr. Buckley, I hope you enjoy the Knicks game. They're currently down 11.
They were down 20.
I know they were down 20.
They pulled the Cavs. They pulled the Cavaliers, and they came back from 20. They could be down 30 and still beat the Celtics. You're getting swept. That's all there is to it. And done.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Evans out. Velour 4. Have a good one.
Most certainly not. It's just, again, like there has to be a balance there. One, Donovan requesting a trade thing is absolutely ridiculous. You lose a playoff series and you think all of a sudden that a guy's gone. And that's with the idea that they would lose this playoff series. Again, just going off of what Mr. Buckley had to say, it's just not a chance. Absolutely zero chance that Donovan would be gone. Again, there's levels to, sure, if you were full health, and they got swept by the Pacers, would that be a conversation that would be had during the offseason? I'm sure. Not that Donovan was requesting it, but should he? A team, when you're missing three of your top six players, is not going out and requesting a trade. Hey, there's absolutely zero reality behind that. But on top of it, like the one takeaway I think we do have to look when we go here, and if you're going to make a positive spin off of this, yes, did the Cavs choke away a 20-point lead? Yeah, did you have a 14-point lead going into the fourth quarter, 7 points going into the final 45 or so seconds? Yes. Like, the close to last night's game was abysmal. It was atrocious. Cannot happen in a playoff series. And if you look back on this one, could very well, if you lose this series, being a major reason as to why. But at the same time, there should probably be at least a little bit of faith based on what you saw yesterday. I mean, you saw the Cavs without DeAndre Hunter, Evan Mobley, and Darius Garland maintain a 15-plus point lead for three quarters of basketball and then, you know, just play neck and neck and lose a game by one. Like, there should be a little bit of faith, I think, built into that. Yes, the loss is demoralizing. The way that you lose made me want to pull my hair out and made it difficult to sleep at night. Absolutely. But when you go back and you look at this thing big picture, there's a lot that has to be done series-wise. But if you take last night's game for its whole and its entirety, and you don't just focus on the fourth quarter, that is once again a good game played by the Cavs with a lot of their star players out in that game. If that's reversed, if your fourth quarter happens in the first quarter and it's reversed, we're having an entirely different conversation. And I understand I'm altering what just happened in the fabric of time as we talk about it. But the reality is, if you look at the game holistically, what it was, it's not like you can't survive a game without those three guys. You nearly survived and won a game. You just have to make some tweaks. You have to make some adjustments and kind of hope that you luck into some things. Like, the Pacers did not shoot the ball very well, partially because of defensive adjustments made by the Cavs, partially because they just didn't shoot the ball that well last night. You get another night like that heading into Indiana, even if you're down these two guys or your three main guys here, you still have a shot. The series is not completely done and dusted. I'm sorry, it just isn't. But yeah, you're going to have to luck into some things. You're going to have to play about as well as you possibly can, and you're going to have to find a way to sustain that for four quarters of basketball instead of three. But you put together a good performance last night, again, in the grand scheme of things. If it was the Cavs making a comeback in the fourth quarter and they dropped it by one, yeah, you'd be disappointed down 2-0. You sure wouldn't be talking about this team, and we wouldn't have as much controversy going around that fourth quarter like we did. It's just an unfortunate time to collapse. Guys were tired, which is a whole other conversation that, again, we touched on a lot after the game, but you got to just try to make adjustments and hope that it works. And you're really hoping that you get at least one of these guys back come Friday. Let's go back out of the phones. BP's in Pepper Pike. What's going on, BP?
Hey, how you doing, Jake?
I'm doing good. How about you, man?
I'm doing good. Is Mr. Buckley over talking? Because I muted my radio for about 7 minutes.
It was only four, and yes.
Okay. Well, yeah, he is a clown. And I don't even know why you guys take his calls. Really, I'm serious, because it's just garbage that comes out of his mouth. But, I mean, you know, the Cavs are injured. They've got three of their best five players are injured. So, you know, if they were healthy, they would have won the game yesterday. And they probably would have won the game on Sunday night. So, in a matter of 48 hours, our season has gone to hell. But, you know, I'm not going to give up on the Cavs. But, yeah, they got to get some of these guys back. And, you know, of course, you know, this, you know, it's not going to be easy. And, yeah, I'm going to be negative, because if you don't have three of your best five players in a major playoff series against a good team, you know, you're not going to win the series. So I've got a lot of doubts here. You know, there was mistakes. Like, one last thing I wanted to mention is when Halliburton went to the line to shoot those free throws, they had Max Strus was on the block along with Jared Allen. Now, that was a major mistake by Kenny Atkinson. No one has said this today. You don't have Max Strus lining up for a rebound, you know, with, like, you know, 10 seconds to go in the game. They should have had Dean Wade in there or even Tristan Thompson. But this is why also during the year I said the Cavs needed a backup center. And, you know, instead they bring in guys like, I forgot his name, Javonte Green and, you know, Chume. Or, you know, they needed a backup center. A guy like, you know, Mo Bamba would have been good, or like Eubanks. You know, any of these, you know, one of the Zeller brothers, you know, just somebody. But that's why, you know, you could see that last night. Jared Allen was gassed. We needed a backup center. Mobley was out. You know, you needed a couple of rebounds. And this is what happened. So I do blame Kenny Atkinson as well and Kobe Altman for this roster, because you needed a backup center for situations like this in the playoffs when a guy is down like Mobley. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I mean, I would have liked if you would have went out and got one. Obviously, you signed Okiki, and they just don't trust him to go out there and actually play.
Well, he's a short. He's 6'4". He's
right.
Basically, he's a 6'4" guard. So is Javonte Green. We've got enough of those guys. We got Sam Merrill. We got Max Strus. You know, we've got, you know, Isaac Okoro. But they really did need, like, a backup power player. Even Larry Nance Jr., you know, that would have been a great pickup if they could have, you know, picked him up from Atlanta. But I think that, you know, so that was a problem last night. You know, you didn't have any, you know, big man, like a backup death at the big man position. And you saw I thought the Naismith, he definitely crossed the line. You're not allowed to go for a rebound on a foul shot until the ball hits the rim. He was crashing in from the three-point line while the ball was in the air. And also, Halliburton, you know, he crossed the line on the foul shot. They showed that today on ESPN, where he had a lane violation as well. So the refs also helped blow the game. So there was just a lot of mistakes, you know, all the way around. But I thought the Cavs had a gutsy performance for 47 minutes. It was a hell of a gutsy performance by the Cavs.
Yeah, and no doubt about it, BP, and I appreciate the call. I just, One, I struggle to point towards a lane violation. Like, we can be upset about it. It's not going to change anything. 2 minute reports out. I'm pretty sure they also admitted to the fact that there were things wrong with the end of that game there, and they should have been called. Like, there's just not, again, much to looking at that and blowing up about it, because the Cavs did that to themselves. The backup center thing, sure, I think you could have played Tristan last night very sparingly and taken some of the big guys off their feet. But the Cavs got most of their lead, again, playing small ball. It was more so just having everybody play a high-intensity game for too long, at least the way that I look at it. And again, like, we can take today, we can reflect on the game from last night. You can be upset. You have the right to be upset. At some point, we got to move on and look at game three, though. Like, hey, you have to try to make the adjustments from this game. We can't just be, okay, well, you know, this is on Kobe Altman and this is on Kenny Atkinson for the way that this team is built. None of us had a problem with the way the team was built prior to, you know, basically the start of game two, when we knew Evan Mobley and DeAndre Hunter weren't playing. Everybody was happy with the way the team was built then. Reality is you're missing three of your top five players. And if you don't get one of them back healthy, I would say that most teams, if not all the teams right now in the NBA, would lose under those circumstances. The Cavs are one of those teams that are built with depth right now, and you saw a 120 to 119 game. Again, you can be upset. It's more about micro adjustments now and making sure that once you get to minute 48 of game three, this team's still playing hard. Again, 216-474-0092. I want to get to the station buzz coming up here in about 5 minutes as well. We'll get to whether or not the Cavs actually showed something in that loss. It's Overtime with Jake Melnyk with the guys right here on The Fan. There you go. Should have been two lane violation calls, the two incorrect calls on the floor in the final 2 minutes. Does that make you feel any better? Anybody feel better after that?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, it didn't make me feel any better. Same boat, Hody. Like, we can go. It's such a trivial argument to me. Yes, again, you're allowed to be mad that they missed the calls. I'm not telling you don't be angry. But our main source of frustration in a game two where the Cavs drop most certainly should not be on, well, the officials have to call two lane violations there. Guys, there's things to be doing in that play that lead to the Pacers getting that more than, well, they stepped over the line early. Like, the Nesmith one, yeah, pretty bad. Probably should have gotten called. I think that there's room there to actually go through. And he probably doesn't get as nice of a jump towards the lane. Definitely is not getting a putback dunk if he leaves on time. But again, nobody wanted to box out. It's still the reality of somebody looking and finding the guy cutting to the rim after a free throw. It's the reality that the Cavs were tired and not fully into that fourth quarter, not fully participating in the fourth quarter. They just weren't able to. That should be the main source of frustration. Your frustration should be on things like no role player being able to shoot in the fourth quarter. Should be on Ty Jerome shooting 1 of 14. A lack of ability to inbound the basketball in the final minute of the game. There's nobody to look at this game and blame other than the Cavs. Right? Cavs and the injury bug. Those are the two things that should be the focus. They should not be something that we're locking into the lane violations and having 40-minute discussions on whether or not that impacted and changed the game. It doesn't need to happen because, yes, it slightly changed the game. Yeah, of course it did. Was it the reason that the Cavs lost? No. Everything else goes into it. And a last 2 minute report is not going to make any of us feel better. It's not going to change anything. You can see the incorrect call. And at the end of the day, the score still reads 120-119. Cavs down 2-0 in the Eastern Conference semifinals to the Indiana Pacers. Again, like, I don't want to entirely focus this day after the game on the fact that, well, the Cavs lost and now basically every reason why they lost, right? The things that they didn't do well. And the team's going through and finding the things they didn't do well. It's now, where do your adjustments come in? How do you win game three? Game two's over. Lane violation or not, game two's now finished. For us, that conversation was last night, right? We all had that conversation after the game was concluded about everything that went wrong for the Cavs in game two. It now has to switch to game three and the Cavs needing to find players that are actually going to work and lineups that are going to continue to work in a way to keep your guys healthy, in a way to keep your guys energized through four quarters of basketball. It's the only difference in this game. The difference is you were tired, and I think you were pretty much checked out mentally. And a lot of people in that game, I would say, probably in a mode of let's survive and try to get out of here and sneak away with a win rather than let's go get a win. Let's go earn ourselves a win in the fourth quarter. Those are the things that you should be focused on, not a lane violation at the end of the day. It just sort of is what it is. Let's go back out of the phones in 216-474-0092. You feel any better now that the last two-minute report's out by the NBA, calling both of the lane violations incorrect calls from the officiating crew last night? Let's go to the phone and talk to Dick is in West Park. What's going on, Dick?
Hey, I just want to mention, all last year, Bickerstaff used Max Strus to inbound the basketball, and he couldn't do it. Last night, he proved again he can't inbound the basketball. Game three, please don't have Max Strus inbounding the basketball. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Yeah, and appreciate the call. I just don't know where else you turn, to be honest. Like, hey, Max Strus did not look confident inbounding that ball. I think it was the morning show talking about how he basically was sitting there while he had full rein to run up and down the baseline after a make. And he's like doing little hop steps and trying to find angles. And it's like, no, just run back and forth. You got time. Go find somebody open. Like, yeah, I don't like to harp on the fact because it's not the reason he lost is not Max Strus's inability to inbound. It's not like anybody was getting wide open either, guys. Like, it's not like he's just missing guys. There were clear miscommunications. There were clearly guys with just tired legs, not able to actually work open on the floor. And Max Strus is, at the end of the day, what, he scored 23? And was absolutely on fire. A big reason as to why you were actually getting and maintaining the lead in that game. I can't put that on Max Strus. Not solely. It definitely isn't just on him. Definitely didn't help. End of the game definitely hurt, but it also logged the most minutes for you in a game where you're missing your star players. I just think so much of this that you look at, and a lot of this needs to go to, hey, Kenny Atkinson's probably got to shore up some of those moments. He's an inexperienced playoff head coach. Hey, you went through a bad few minutes of basketball within that fourth quarter. Probably 7 minutes of bad basketball. The first six and the last one in which the Cavs did not play to their ability. Used a timeout, still didn't inbound the basketball. Like, a lot of X's and O's things, a lot of things about the rotation didn't go your way. But it's not just going to be on Max. It's not going to be, I think, on any individual player. Yeah, that was, as much as you hate to look at it, a full team loss of guys who just weren't ready to be killers in the fourth quarter. They weren't ready to go out and be dominant in the fourth quarter. I mean, we looked at it last night. What was it, four shots? I think they made four shots in the final quarter of play. Yeah, they were trying to survive. And it just didn't work. But again, a two-minute report is not changing anybody's mind as to what this team should or should not have been able to do last night. He had full control of the game. Two lane violations simply don't change that. It's not what costs you this game. So I'm not feeling any better after getting the 2 minute report. I'm not feeling any differently about the fact that they weren't called. Again, 216-474-0092. If you guys want to jump in, we're going to get to the station buzz coming up here at 8 o'clock. We'll hear from the most pressing things said from across the station's guests today, in which plenty of talk surrounding the Cavs in game two and where they go from here. We'll get to all that again coming up here at 8. It's Overtime with Jake Volnick with you guys on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.